Our Old Testament reading is found in Daniel, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 3. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. And Daniel declared, "I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning, we continue the series, Dare to Be a Daniel, and this morning we'll look at Glimpse into the Future. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this doctor, an engineer, and a politician who were arguing about whose profession came first in the history of humanity. And so the doctor said, "Well, I recall in Genesis that it says that God caused Adam to fall asleep, and then while he was asleep, took a rib from his side, and from it fashioned Eve. Now, that sounds like the first operation to me, and therefore, the medical profession must have been first." And the engineer thought, and he said, "Well, Genesis also says before that, that out of chaos, God created everything that is. And that sounds like an engineering marvel to me, so therefore, engineering must be the first profession." And the politician thought for a moment and said, "Well, wait a second. Who do you think created all the chaos?" That certainly seems appropriate in this election year. And this morning, we want to take a look not just at the chaos, but two dreams that Daniel has about the political kingdoms of the world during that time and in the future to come. And this has been an action-packed book. And now it slows down for a minute, except that these two dreams are sort of action-packed as well. And so there's the first dream and then the second dream. And people will go to a seminar on Revelations or Daniel, and they talk about, you know, what day is the end times? Or you see in the news, a certain group has gone to a mountaintop to wait to the end of times. And a few weeks back, or maybe it's been a few months back, when I went into the Seekers class, and they were reading a book and studying some of the prophecies. And they said to me in a challenging way, "Well, how is it that we never hear about these prophecies and the future and things like that from you or in our pulpit?" And I said, "Well, as it just so happens, we'll be starting the book of Daniel in a few weeks, and we're going to go ahead and look at two of those big chapters." And so there's usually Daniel, and there's also the book of Revelation. This morning, we're looking at Daniel, and we talked about the statue that was a vision of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, and this morning, we're looking at 7 and 8, and we're not going to solve all the mysteries of eternity in the future, but there's some interesting things in these. And so unlike the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision, in his dream in chapter 2, it was this huge, tall statue of gold, and it was awe-inspiring, but there's a sense of serenity about that. Now, when Daniel has these two visions, they're terrified. Even Daniel, who was a person of tremendous courage and strength and wisdom, was terrified by them. But there are some similarities which give some insight in maybe how that Daniel saw the future of that time and even the time of Belshazzar. So in this time, Daniel takes a step back. So we've talked about Cyrus the Great coming in and conquering Babylon. In this moment, Daniel takes a step back into the reign of King Belshazzar, the great grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and the first dream is in the first year of his kingdom, and then the second dream is in the third year of his kingdom. And so let's go ahead and jump in here. And in this dream, he sees these four, the first dream, he sees these four creatures coming out of the seas that are troubled by the winds. And sometimes we think, well, kingdoms represented by animals, that just seems to be kind of crazy. But, you know, this morning we saw a great video on a children's sermon that uses fish and an octopus and squid to symbolize some truths. And in our own political election, don't we use some animals to represent the political parties, right? We've got the elephant and we've got the donkey, right? So these are represented by animals, but they're much more frightening than those. And so Daniel in verse 4 says, "The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And then as I looked, its wings were plucked off and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it." And this represents Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire, which we'll see shortly. And then he says in verse 5, "And behold, another beast, a second one like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise and devour much flesh.'" And this bear seems to represent Cyrus the Great and the Persian Empire that took over the Babylonian Empire. And then in verse 6, it says this, "And after this I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it." And this, we'll see later, seems to represent Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire with its swiftness to conquer and how it broke into 4 kingdoms and even more after that. And then in verse 7 it says, After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts before it. It had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came from them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by its root. And behold, the horns were like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. He doesn't know, but there's a premonition that this is the Roman Empire destroying the Greek Empire and then from it dividing into different areas. And so that's the first scene in this first dream. And then all that chaos and turbulence and power and death comes the second dream, which is very interesting. And against this is the majesty of God. And it says this, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took a seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from it before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, its body destroyed and given over in the burned fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, and their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. You know, and that reminds us that amid all the chaos of whatever kingdoms come and go in time, that God is ultimately in control, that God is over all this Ancient of Days. And then he goes on in scene three, and it's very interesting because here one like the Son of Man is introduced, and it beautifully seems to portray the coming of the Messiah. So listen to what it says. Then I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, they came one like a Son of Man. And it came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and the kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Then Daniel was given the interpretation of some of this at least, and it says this, as for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled and anxious within me. And as I approached, there was one who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. And he said this, these four great beasts are four kingdoms who shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. A beautiful picture of that. And then it says this, then does I desire to know about this fourth beast. Remember, this fourth one is not like anything he's ever seen before. The others were exceedingly terrifying, but this was even worse. And it said this, it was different from all the rest with his teeth of iron and claws of bronze, which were devoured and broken in pieces and stamped what was left to his feet. And then there's 10 horns that arise. And then out of that three and then one. And it says this, and as I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And this time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. It says this, and thus he said, as for the fourth beast, this is the angel, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise. Another shall rise after them and shall be different from the former ones and shall put down three kings. He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he shall think of change the times and the law. They shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half time, but the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. And then Daniel says that his color was changed and he was alarmed by this. And so in this third scene here, we see a number of great things. So in the first scene, we have these four animals portraying different kingdoms of humankind. And then this scene of the Ancient of Days and then the scene of the Son of Man. And you know, one of the amazing things about this is, and of course, this is an election year. And there's this year, more than ever, there seems to be all this chaos and turmoil. And not just in our own country, but you look around the world today, and there's lots of things that happen, some difficult issues, and kingdoms arise. And sometimes we, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we wonder why it seems like, sometimes it seems like evil prevails. And good people lose their lives, and bad things happen. And some of the lessons of this first dream seem to be these, that the kingdoms of men are often powerful and destructive and even evil, And that's the truth of the matter. But God is ultimately in control. And we need to trust God. Like Daniel has this vision of the Ancient of Days in the midst of all this chaos and the brightness and the glory of his throne. And then kingdoms come and go, but God is in control. And then the last thing there is that this image of the Son of Man is incredibly predictive of the Messiah, the one who would come in the image of God, who sort of brings God and all the children of God together before this beautiful throne, and that kingdom will last forever and ever. And it's an incredible picture of history. In fact, people have looked at the book of Daniel and said, you know, these predictions and the way the kingdoms kind of go, it seems to be so true that it couldn't possibly be dated when we think it is. So they try to push the dating back. And so that's how accurate this looks. And so you see the kingdoms of Babylon, and then you see Cyrus the Great and the Medo-Persian Empire. One was certainly bigger than the other. The Persian empire was stronger than the Medo side. And then you see Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, of course, was this incredible general who, from the ages of 23 to 26, led an incredible campaign and then really became a world conqueror and then tragically died at the age of 33. And, of course, his kingdom was split apart into different kingdoms. And it seems to picture that. And then, of course, then the rise of the Roman Empire and then that kingdom being split apart in different ways. And then from the first vision, in chapter 7, we go to the second vision that Daniel has. And in this vision, there's two images. And the first image is a ram with two horns. And it says this. Daniel says, I raised my eyes and saw, and behold, a ram standing on the bank of a canal. It had two horns, and both horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher one came up last. I saw the ram charging westward and northward and southward. No beast could stand before him. And there was no one who could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased and became great. And then in the second image, and he says this, and as I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the whole face of the earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a large horn between his eyes. He came to the ram and with two horns, in which had been standing on the bank of the canal, and he ran him with powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand against him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him. And there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. And then the goat was exceedingly great. But when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it came up four large horns towards the four winds of heaven. And out of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, towards the glorious land, which is Israel. It grew great, even to the host of heaven. And some of the hosts and some of the stars it threw down to the ground and trampled on them. It became great, even as great as the prince of the host. And the regular burnt offering was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown. A host will be given over to it together with the regular burnt offering because of the transgression, and the truth thrown to the ground, and it will act and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and the holy one said to the one who spoke, for how long is this vision concerning the regular burnt offering, the transgression that makes desolate, and the giving over the sanctuary to the host trampled underfoot? And he said to me, 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state. And then Daniel was just awestruck by this, as you can imagine. And so he wants an interpretation, and an angel comes, and it's the angel of all angels, which is Gabriel, you know, one of the greatest angels. And so as he's standing there, Gabriel speaks to him, Daniel, and says, understand, O son of man, that the vision is for the time of the end. And when he had spoken to me, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and made me stand up. And he said, behold, I will make known to you what shall be at the latter end of the indignation. So for it refers to the appointed time of the end. As for the ram that you saw with two horns, these are the two kings of Medes and Persia. And so this Medo-Persian empire, one is larger than the other. And this was an incredible empire at that time. And of course, it went west towards Babylon, which overtook Babylon when Daniel was there. And then it went north towards Armenia and the Caspian Sea, and then south even into Africa to become the greatest world empire. And Daniel probably saw this before he went to King Belshazzar when he saw the writing on the wall. And Daniel literally had seen the writing on the wall of the end of his kingdom and what God would have transpire for all the kingdoms. And so he was given great courage by that. And then in the second image, it says this, the angel Gabriel saying this, and the goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn between his eyes is the first king, As for the horn that was broken, in place of which four others arose, four kingdoms shall rise from this nation, but not with his power. And all the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, a king of bold face, one who understands riddles, shall rise. His power shall be great, but not by his own power. And he shall cause fearful destruction and shall succeed in what he does and destroy many men, and people who are o'er the saints. By his cunning he shall make deceit prosper under his hand, and in his own mind he shall become great. Without warning he shall destroy many, and he shall even rise up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken, but by no human hand. The vision of the evenings and the mornings that has been told is true, but seal up the vision, for it refers to many days from now. And then Daniel lay sick again. And so you see this image of this one-horned goat that tramples against this two-horned ram. And so the image is of this Alexander the Great and this great Greek empire that comes against the Cyrus the Great. And of course, Alexander the Great, again, is 21 to 26 years old when he made his conquest, which is an incredibly young age as a great general. He died tragically at the age of 33. And then his kingdom fragmented into four separate kingdoms. And so the one horn, there's various interpretations about that. But I just want to give a couple to think about. First one is may refer to Syria. And there was a governor by the name of Seleucus Nicator, head of the Seleucid Empire. And he gave rise to a person by the name of Antiochus IV, part of his line, who emerged in 175 BC. And he took the title Theos Antiochus Epiphanes, which means Antiochus the illustrious God. He proclaimed himself God, and he went into Jerusalem with horrible bloodshed, and he took over the temple. He sacrificed the pig on the altar. He put up the statue of Zeus and had human sacrifices there. So that was pretty bad, and he plagued Jerusalem in an incredible way. It could also refer to, obviously, to the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. People also, some people sort of conjecture and say, well, this may give rise to 10 toes and all this. And people will say, well, this is, you know, the European Union and the common market and things like that. You know, we really don't know the end of times. In fact, the angel says to Daniel, listen, seal up the meaning of the visions, the complete meaning of the visions, until the end of the times. And so when we look at this, you kind of wonder, what are the lessons for us? And I think the lessons of the second dream, second vision, are the same as the lessons of the first vision. I mean, you have to understand that Daniel was in a turbulent time, but a place of tremendous power and influence. And so he catches a glimpse of all the kingdoms in some way or another, and he says, you know, these are destructive. The kingdoms of men are often powerful and destructive and really even evil at times. But in the midst of this, he sees this incredible vision of the Ancient of Days, God's power and majesty, and he realizes that God, who created everything that is ultimately in control. And because of our freedom of choice, God has given dominion at different times and seasons to different kingdoms, and often they abuse that power. And I think it's the same in our world today, that we, again, look around, and it may not be Greece, it may not be the Roman Empire, it may not be Babylon, but we see kingdoms that seem evil and destructive. But know this, that God is in control, and that ultimately history has an end, that only God decides what that will be, and God will always be in control. And then, again, this beautiful picture of the Son of Man. This so beautifully depicts Christ and the coming of the Messiah, that this one is the Son of Man, would come before him and reconcile God and really the Church of Jesus Christ. In the midst of all this, realize this, that Paul in Romans 8 and following says these words, and I think they apply to us and sometimes our turbulence and chaos amid the elections and difficulties throughout the world. Paul says this, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is ultimately in control. no matter how chaotic and destructive and even evil everything around us is, that Christ has reconciled us. And we can trust that that kingdom of God will last forever and ever, even after the end of this age as we see it. You know, Jesus in the book of Matthew refers to himself 30 times as the Son of Man, not just a Son of Man, but the Son of Man. And Jesus seems to be recalling the book of Daniel, where this was used so significantly to point towards the Messiah. Jesus also is recorded as referring to himself as the Son of Man in every single one of the Gospels. And Jesus is saying that he's the fulfillment of this, but it's not the fulfillment of ages, that will come in the future. As for that, Jesus himself said, as for those times and season, only the Father in heaven knows. So as tempting as it is sometimes for us to get caught up in who is the person who will bring the end of times and what kingdom that is and all the chaos, you know, we're to care about a world just like Daniel cared about the world. But Jeremiah challenged him to live and settle there and to keep strong values. And we need to do that, to be part of this place, because we're to be witnesses and light in the darkness, but to keep our values strong. And then Jeremiah says to pray for the peace, the shalom of Babylon, that we should work towards loving the world and bringing God's witness to this, and then to trust the Lord that in the end and all things are in God's hands. You know, we may not have a vision like Daniel, but we can remember that the Ancient of Days is over all that is. God created everything that is, and God has a plan and purpose, and God will see it through. And when it appears that God isn't in control, know this, that the seasons of men will have their end just as they had their beginning, and God is ultimately in control. And I'd like to end with this. Where we may not have the vision of Daniel, we can remember what Daniel said, and we can trust in the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he can be our vision. It's a great hymn that I love called Be Thou My Vision, written in the 8th century by Dallin Forgale, and he writes this, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we look around the political landscape of our world, we're sometimes overcome by the destructive power around us, wars and injustice and devastation, what seems to be truly evil. We may not have the vision of Daniel, but Daniel shared that vision with us. A vision that in the midst of chaos which we cannot control, that we can trust you, the Ancient of Days, because you're over all and you will bring all the kingdoms of men to an end. And even they play in your purpose. And so, Lord, help us to trust you and your power and your might. Help us to know that we too can be challenged to be a part of the community around us, but to stand strong in our faith and values, to be a witness, a light in the darkness, and to trust you, that you have everything in control. More than anything else, help us to trust that you have brought the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, on earth to reconcile us, to give his life on the cross, that we could trust you to be with you around your throne forever and ever, just as Daniel saw. Help us to remember that and to realize that we have a part in your plan and purpose, to play our part and to trust you as you bring everything, even the worlds, to beginning and an end. Be with us now, we pray, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.